CD. Hold on, April. Okay. Our sound guy just took a step out of the room. Not sure what's happening.
So how have you guys been? Good?
Yeah, we've been well, yeah.
Busy.
That's good. No one's dying?
No one's dying.
No one's dying, thankfully.
Okay. Just got to make sure.
Is this ready to go, Chris? Oh, okay. He says we're ready to go.
All right.
I guess I should have mentioned that.
Yeah, really. No. Oh my gosh, you messed it up.
Whenever I touch the board, they panic.
Because we have no idea what he's doing. So it's like, what?
And in 3, 2. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Comic Bop. God, I can't even talk now.
I told
Sorry,
you.
Guys.
Gotta get the giggles out.
This is getting embarrassing, huh?
Yes. Okay, take 4. Welcome to another edition of Comic Pop Visits. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Chris,
and we are with the band
Last One Out.
And I'm going to let you gentlemen introduce yourselves, if you would, please.
All right, I guess I'll start. I'm Dustin. I play the drums.
I'm Jeff. I play the bass guitar.
I'm Scott M. I play the straight old guitar. And we're missing our lead singer, Scott Royal. He plays the keys as well.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming in today and visiting with us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
And we also need to say a thank you to Carla McDonald of the Muse Box for scheduling this with us. We do appreciate her working with us and doing all this for us.
That's very cool.
From here on, April is actually our music reviewer, so I will turn it over to her.
Yep. All right. So you guys did say you were out of the Boston area around there.
Yes. Yeah. We're like an hour away from Boston. We're from Providence, Rhode Island, but New England, you know.
Yeah, same difference, yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys did say you guys aren't all from the area. You guys are from different.
Yeah, we met at Providence College, Rhode Island, but Dustin and I are originally from Connecticut, and then Scott and Jeff are from Massachusetts.
So you guys did start up the band in college?
Yeah, we started up the band in Providence. We all met at school there, and we decided to, you know, join a band while we were there. And then when we graduated, we decided to stick around Providence, and we got into a house together, and we've been doing it for, this is our third year now. So
all your moms and dads can be proud you did graduate.
Yeah, we did graduate, and now we're paying off loans and playing music. So.
But at least you didn't start playing music and then drop out.
That's true. You have the degree to fall back on.
There you go.
Yeah.
And did you guys say you were living with each other?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
That'd be so fun, just live with all your friends. Ugh.
It is pretty fun.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys probably get on each other's nerves, huh?
I mean, I think we all kind of get each other now. I've been Jeff's roommate for 7 years, Dustin for 6. I mean, you get to know everyone's like your brotherly, you know.
Yeah.
So you just get it. I'm pretty annoying, so everyone else is putting it, really.
That is the truest statement of the interview so far.
Well, that helps with expenses, too, I expect, so.
Yeah,
it does, yeah.
Absolutely.
And we forgot to mention, we actually opened up the podcast with a drop from their EP, and it was Calvary.
The Calvary, yeah. I liked it. That's actually, your songs are catchy, and I really like that, because there's a gap as with school going on and everything. I don't have, like, time in the day to listen to the songs, you know, every day. And so I remember listening to The Calvary a couple weeks ago, and when Dad put it into the player this morning, so, you know, get a refresher and everything, I had the rhythm in my head, even though I hadn't heard it yet. So right. I really liked that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
It's always a good thing
to hear. Nothing intentional on our part. We just, I guess that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good to hear, because we never know that.
Yeah, you never know. We're talking to Dad. We just released the lyric video for The Calvary on YouTube, and you know, we're talking to each other, just like wondering, hey, you know, do you think people are going back and listening to it again? And, you know, is it something they want to hear over and over again? You know, you never know if it's like an earworm or not. So.
At least I am. So there's one person.
Yeah.
Got one fan.
We got 100% on that.
There you go. And one thing I did notice throughout all of your songs is, I don't know if it's just me, but I have like, I hear like a 90s influence.
Yeah, absolutely.
In it?
I totally
I'd
say
so.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely, I guess, you know, more leaning towards having like rock, you know, guitars in the background. We're not too, like, we use the synth a lot, but it's not, you know, I don't think we're synth pop rock, really.
Yeah.
We used to
kind of do a lot of synth stuff, and we started getting away from that, just trying to be like almost raw. You know, just focus on the performance and, you know, staying away from having tracks in your songs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where the 90s stuff comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the rock in it. I like it.
When you guys are writing, is it just free-forming? Do you do a lot of songs at once and then kind of cherry-pick down from when you're putting an EP together or an album? How do you do that when you're writing?
Well, lately we used to really just... We'd calm down, and if we had an idea, we'd go with it, and we'd finish it, and then if we had another one, we'd do the same sort of process. Like, someone will come down with a riff, or we'll really just all come down together and jam, and if we like what we're doing, well, it's very organic in a way, and it's almost hard to explain how it actually happens, but it's like you inspire each other person in the room to do something differently when you're playing together, so it sort of just happens in a really mysterious way. It's like doing this interview, like something will spark something in your heads to ask, or we'll have something else new to say, and it's kind of like a conversation between four people, and eventually once you get a whole song down, it's sort of like a recorded, I don't know, dialogue. It's weird.
Yeah, that's cool. And you guys at least for your second track on here, Favorite Van Gogh, where did that name come from? Like, is that just out of a top hat, or
asking the wrong person on that one? That's Scott. So Scott does the lyrics, our singer. So he usually gets the lucky job of naming the songs. I don't know what the influence was
here. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like imagery in the song and the lyrics, I think, and a lot about, like, you know, he mentions a painting and a picture in a frame. So I think like it was some type of art. I don't really want to speak to what inspired him to do that. But
it sort of speaks to the thing where we don't always necessarily know what exactly he's singing about, but we can sense we feel the emotion of the song, like, even without knowing all the words exactly. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't appreciate what he's saying. It's kind of like we just feel what he's saying
instead of what the actual words.
He's just a singer.
You just go with it, like, whatever.
Well, kind of what I got from it was kind of like what you gentlemen were saying is, you know, be artistic, take that challenge, you know, that not everybody's willing to sometimes, and be courageous enough to take that step forward. And a lot of people, it's hard to do, and you gentlemen have done that. And, you know, music is definitely not an easy road to go down.
No, definitely not. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's weird. The more we, you know, write songs together. I guess we learn new things. At least for me, I've been, like, recently, you know, back when I was in high school, and I read something by a work, you know, some work by an author. Like, the whole time I was looking at it like a puzzle, and I was trying to solve it. Like, what was the author trying to say here? And then recently we had some reviews done for our, you know, EP, and people said, you know, someone said, oh, Still Life Moves, which is the title of our EP. They're saying, ah, you know, that's really about when you are painting a still life portrait and it seems to be moving. And, like, I don't think that was really what we had in mind, but I thought that was the coolest thing that someone, you know, was, you know, that was what they thought. And that's why I feel like I'm starting to learn more. It's like, now that you got that vibe from the song, that's great. That's like, whatever you get from it is, right, like the best gift we can give, I guess.
Definitely. And you guys have been pretty successful with your career so far. You've been going to competitions, right?
Oh yeah,
we did those for a while. Thank you. I mean, it's weird. It's like, how do you measure success in industry? It's really hard. I mean, we had won some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice pat on the back. But when you're looking for, like, a real lasting feeling of accomplishment, it's only really something that's quite temporary and in the moment. Like, at the end of the day, like, what is a competition among bands? You know, we're all trying to do the same thing, but I think in general, like, America just has developed this whole competition culture where that's what talent is judged on, and it's supposed to be, you know, like, a panel of judges is supposed to tell you who's the best and what the best type of person in music is. And I think we all just started to realize that the more competitions we went in, that they really weren't that fulfilling as, you know, they were when we first did them. Yeah. But that's not to say that you don't make valuable connections during them. It's just you sort of left with that feeling afterwards.
Are you more relaxed in your music now after doing that, though?
What do you mean? Like,
well, you've seen that people can't appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Now you can kind of sit back and say, okay, let's just go with the flows and have a free have our music.
In our writing, you can see that from our first EP to our second one. The first one, it was a lot more in mind, like, is this radio friendly, or is this, you know, you get that in the back of your head because you're nervous, you're putting out something and you want people to like it. And then the second time around on this, our last EP, Still Have Moves, we were just let's do what makes us feel good and let's write whatever's coming out and not get, you know, hindered by what we think people want to hear. So
yeah, definitely. It's really easy to get inside your own head whenever you're writing something, and by that point it's like ruins the whole,
yeah, you like overcook it. we've had songs where, like, oh, we've overcooked it,
we killed it, like,
So it's a little bit freeing to be able to do that then. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I guess to that note, you know, We are pretty free because we're not signed and it's just the four of us. We don't have any outside management, really. Like, we have connections and people that we work with in the industry, but it's just the four of us and we all manage ourselves and each other. And, you know, in that respect, you know, we really are able to do whatever we want when we come down to this basement. And that's why we're doing the interview here, because it's just, we feel really comfortable here. And, you know, the four of us can just have that freedom to, you know, I guess, talk to each other through music without everyone having anyone say otherwise.
Okay. Yeah. So have you guys, you know, after the competitions, have you guys been going out and getting gigs? Hopefully.
Yeah. Recently we've been, you know, really working harder to get a lot more original gigs. You know, we're just starting to kick up the original gigs in, you know, New England area. Some in New York we have coming up, and then maybe Philly. It's tough because we all work full-time jobs. So that kind of puts a limit on what we can do, because we gotta eat, you know, a little impaired lungs and all that.
That darn food.
That darn food thing really thirst for a loop.
Because the original gigs, it's really hard to make any money off of those. Not the talk business, but, like, you don't see much from that. It's kind of just, it's more about, you know, that experience, and hopefully people like you and follow you and want to listen to you and see you again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more you get out there, there's that more of a chance somebody will hear it and say, oh, that might be interesting for this person. And it just spreads from word of mouth from there. So,
yeah.
And I think that's, like, one of the last things of the puzzle that we've been trying to put together the last 3 years. You know, we're trying to think, like, oh, what should we do? Because, like I said, it's just the four of us. And we're thinking, you know, we really haven't played out as much as a lot of bands do. Like, a lot of bands, you know, they go out of high school and they get in a van and they tour for 2 years because – they didn't go to college, or they, you know, that was their path. We didn't know we were wanted to even be in a band, and so we all met each other in college. So it was never really part of our plan. So now we got to work with it, you know, with the with the jobs, and you know, it's not easy. But you know, now we're saying we should take our weekends and be playing anywhere we can, just so that we're playing to new people and you know, have that chance.
Yeah, it's really easy to fall into like a mentality where you're waiting for the perfect moment and the perfect time and the perfect songs to really, you know, put yourself out there to the people. But I think we just sort of realized that, well, in the meantime, you're kind of just hurting yourself because you're not out, you're not getting out there. And who's to say that what you have now isn't good? You know, you need to hear what other people say. And I think that's why we're really trying to push out now. We're just more confident in what we have instead of like shooting for the moon, you know, with all our song. Well, we do that, but you know, not trying to be, not so much trying to be perfect and waiting for the perfect moment, but just trying to get out there and get that reassurance.
And with getting your music out there, can people find it on iTunes?
Yes, it's on iTunes.
It is on iTunes. Okay.
Spotify, Amazon, all the normal places to look at. But yeah, I think, you know, something that when you release music, you, but today's society, you have to be very visual. And I think that was something that we didn't necessarily have a ton of when we released The Life Moves. And we thought about that too with the most recent lyric video. And we're saying, you know, this lyric video is great. We're getting a lot more, you know, plays on it. And people are talking about how they like the song. And we really didn't hear that when we released the EP. So I think sharing more content and having more things for people to listen to and to watch, you know, can only help us as well.
Is the EP available in physical format or are you just doing digital?
Only at the shows. We don't have any distributing them in stores, unfortunately. That'd be pretty awesome. But
yeah, maybe next time.
So they can just go to your website and it'll link them back to iTunes or something like that?
All that's all set up there.
So. Alrighty. Well, Carla's nice. April's one of the old traditional types. She likes a physical format.
We do as well.
Carla's been nice enough to send her the actual physical disc when she can. So
it's because, as I mentioned before, I'm like a technology idiot. Like I'm.
You want to go a Luddite? You know,
it's just not my thing. That technology thing.
I don't have a smartphone, so.
I know, like basic internet's as technological as I get, pretty much.
I hear you. Yeah. We've been listening to a lot of vinyl lately.
Those have been coming back.
Right.
Awesome.
We've been riding that train. We kind of pillaged our parents' collections anytime we go back there for a meal. And so we come back and we have all this new music to share with each other, but it's not new. You know, it's been around for so long. So it's really cool to kind of listen to where music was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, rather than the stuff that's being played today because... we hate the stuff that's being played today. So
not true. That you mean to the mainstream? Like what's on like the
same eight bands?
You know, like the same artists. Not bands. You know, like Nicki Minaj or whatever. Yeah. You know, those.
I think with my thing, it's a pick and choose. You know.
Yeah.
I like a couple things here and there, but you know,
sure.
I like that's alternative stuff.
Yeah, I mean that's not to say we don't all have our guilty pleasure songs, but for the most part,
Which Hannah Montana song do you like?
The one that no one knows you like.
Don't want to admit that one, do you? We won't record that one for posterity. But one of the songs I'm trying to remember, I'm thinking it was Hardwiring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is one, I got two things on it, and I know the person that's here that I'm wanting to ask isn't there.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you said his name was Scott, the lead singer.
Yeah. Because
there's two of them.
I got the that feeling of a, oh, what did I say when I was coming over? I probably just lost it. Rolling Stones lead singer.
Probably wasn't paying attention to you.
Oh, yeah, Mick Jagger.
Yeah, Mick Jagger. I had a feel that he was influenced by Mick Jagger some, because specifically in that song, he kind of emulates him a lot. And then when the music comes in, I can almost picture Mick Jagger, you know, doing his step swaying. So I didn't know if that was intentional. He was, you know, trying to put
I know he's a big Stones fan. He's a music lover for sure. So I could totally see that, you know, Mick being like a big part of his you know, influences. You
I'm
know?
Sure he'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
We'll let him know that you said that.
Yeah. Okay.
He gets a lot. Like, a lot of different people say he sounds like a little bit like someone. And it's kind of cool, the array of, you know, singers that have been compared to him, because they're not all the same. All these singers are not. So I think it kind of speaks to how Scott's kind of unique in that he sounds like himself, and he's taken all of his influences and just really has come to, you know, be his own voice, because no one can quite place it.
And I didn't know if that was an answer to the song Mr. Robota back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That song we actually wrote in the studio. For the most part, it kind of came together last minute.
The last day.
And the lyrics were kind of fun because we kind of, if you hear in the chorus, it's like I-I-O-O, and it's like binary code.
Right.
So it's like playing on the hard wiring, you know, it's a robot. It's kind of a fun one that came out. It was just...
Yeah, that song is the most frustrating one to record. We just basically went in there and we're like, all right, we have this... We don't even have, like, a real good idea of this, but we're just going to write it, so.
We have, like, two sketches of the song, like, two different versions, and we, like, listen to them with the engineer, and we're like, all right, let's put this part there, and then pick this part of the song there, and kind of throw them together, and that's the third track on the EP, so.
Okay.
Well, it worked out. That's good. That's
I pushed for that one. I really like that one. So
yeah, that's Scott's favorite.
Like, this is girlfriend's
not my favorite.
It's girlfriend's favorite.
She didn't even know that song.
She's going to listen to this.
It's really, I like that one. It's just a fun one. It's kind of a chill song. And then, so I really pushed everyone in the studio that we got to work it out and write it.
You know, I really like all of the songs on here. Like, and I appreciate that because more oftentimes than not, when I listen to an album, there's some songs where I could leave off, you know, because it's not really my taste. And on these ones, I liked all of them.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
That's a great thing to hear.
Yeah, it's about as good as it gets for a compliment.
I like them.
And I think at this point, we'll go ahead and take a short break, and we will listen to Hardwiring as our second drop. So we'll be back here shortly.
Boy, you cried, robot, but I'm on my way. Yeah, I'm on my way. Technology, and everyday luxury replace my brain. Replace my brain. Now I speak.
Just got finished listening to Hardwiring by Last One Out. You can find them online at lastoneoutmusic.com. You can also find them, I'm sure, on Facebook, iTunes. Look them up. This is a group that is having a shift and going into change, and we're really enjoying the direction they've gone into, and I think a lot of you out there will. So appreciate you guys coming on today, and April, we'll let you go forward.
Thank you.
What?
Oh, thanks for having us.
What?
A blonde moment.
Yeah. Actually, I want to get back on some of your earlier stuff with Eddie P. Lover's Trance.
Sure.
Well, was that?
What?
Right here. It says it was featured, licensed for over 15 TV shows.
Oh, yeah. The TV shows?
Yeah, the TV shows, yeah.
Yeah, we actually had that with the EP, the new one, too. It's cool. It's like, you know, it means basically that they hopefully will use it. But I don't think they have. Yeah, we haven't seen anything from it.
It's a tricky business, music licensing, when you're an independent artist.
Yeah.
Because there's sort of like a vague, I don't even know how to describe it. mystery land.
Yeah, we don't really know. It's like they liked it and they picked it and they're like, oh, hopefully we'll use it. But
and they can't use it unless they license it. But licensing it doesn't guarantee that they're actually going to use it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
And they don't have to tell you if they use it. So you'll never know unless someone says, hey, I was watching Mean Girls and you were, you know, or whatever it is. I don't know.
You were on the music in the background on the radio or something. So.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of one of those hard things. I know we talked to somebody else that's how they found out about one of their songs being on there. Their friend heard it just accidentally and said, this was you. And they was like, oh, it is us. And then they had to chase somebody down and say, okay, where's our money?
That was nothing. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was royalties. Your money.
True. On, you guys took a big leap this last year. And I don't know, you can get into the financials of it or just say, oh my God, that hurt. But you went to South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
It was.
This is one spot April would love to go to, but we look at the ticket prices and it's like $1,500 a person.
Oh, yeah. So we didn't even, we didn't buy a badge.
Okay. Yeah, there's different ways to go to South by Southwest. And, one, you can. There's a bunch of shows. There's actually two concurrent festivals down there at the same time. One is South by Southwest, of course, and the other is this one called the Red Gorilla Music Festival.
Okay.
And, yeah, the badges for South by Southwest do cost a lot of money. But it was a crazy experience down there, unlike anything we ever thought we'd do. It was kind of like, when you're in a band. Well, just us, we try to make goals every year and then, reach goals, kind of like reach schools, I guess. Yeah. But we told each other we wanted to go down there somehow, some way. And it ended up happening, which was really cool. And I don't know how many shows we played down there.
Three
shows. And it was just a great experience playing for people halfway across the country that weren't your friends and family, because you never really know if they're, telling you the absolute truth, when they tell you, oh, you had a great show, or I like that song, or I don't, because they're inherently biased, because, it's like your mom. Your mom's not going to tell you she hates your music.
I get that, yeah.
Hopefully, but yeah. But it was great to play to new, fresh ears that had never heard it, kind of like you guys listening to it. We need as much feedback as we can to grow, because if that's the one hard thing to get, like genuine feedback.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because you never, when you create something, it's really hard to look at it as a, a listener that didn't write the song. So it's really hard for us to, gauge our own, success, I guess, at times, or the quality of a song or quality of a show, because you can get so into your head. So it's really good to have, great quality feedback, negative or positive, just because, that's the only way to really help us continue.
And I'd hope it was really positive there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It was? That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenally.
We, signed, autographs, and we're like, I don't think these people know who we are. We're like, yeah.
It took our picture and stuff, and we're like, what is this?
Yeah, it was weird.
Very weird.
Well, the whole...
Cool place. Austin is an awesome city. First time, we're not big travelers, so... but it's a really fun city. Sixth Street's where we played most of our shows. I think... Yeah, two were on 6th Street at the Thirsty Nickel.
Thirsty Nickel.
And then we played one at the Handlebar, which is a little off 6th Street, which is a really cool place too. And it just, even if you don't get a badge, you can go there and see so much new music. And all these really talented bands are playing there. It was really
There's a lot of free shows. Thing. You don't need the official badge. I mean, you do to get in to see Justin Timberlake or whoever they have.
Or Keegan Sarah, a lot of
Paramore or whoever there. Was playing.
And we wanted to see them, but obviously, the funds are for short. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that's almost, I might get in trouble saying that word, I'll change it. It's almost a place to go now for indie bands to be recognized and to try out their music. And I know the Muse Box is probably there. They've talked about being there at times.
Mm-hmm.
But do you look at going when you're out traveling, whether it's to there? You said you started doing some shows. Are you going to be acceptable to other venues across the states if somebody contacts you and, provides the support to get you there and everything? You don't want to do it for free.
I'm sure.
But are you guys going to be, is that your next step, is trying to get out to the national market and try to be more?
We definitely want to take that leap, but we have to be smart about it because we have our loans, and we kind of just want to launch at, I don't want to say launch at the right time, but we just have to kind of be smart about it. You know, we don't want to quit our jobs and go on a tour for 2 months. And then at the end of the tour, we're like, okay, well, we don't have much money anymore. And now we don't have our jobs. And, you know, what do we do now? So I guess we do want to play everywhere. That would be, you know, that's the dream and everything. I just think we don't know exactly how we're going to get there yet, but that is absolutely what we're striving for. We just have to make sure we do it.
Yeah, we're really trying to just build our hopefully a following up in New England and, you know, the Northeast area, and hopefully do this for a little bit and then maybe get farther, maybe go back to South by again. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know they do have one other one kind of similar to that in California, and I didn't know if – I can't remember the lady's name that puts it on, though.
Oh, Lord, don't ask me.
No. Okay.
What?
But, unless it's the West Coast, you never.
I've never been there.
That'd be fun.
I can't remember. I read an article about her, but I can't remember her name now. But I don't know if Carly at the Muse Box would know her. It seems like she takes in the indie artist, and she basically makes a weekend of it.
Really? That'd be cool. Yeah, absolutely. Let us know.
I'll have to try to find that article again where I saw it and get back in touch with Carla so she can forward it to you.
Perfect.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
With the EP, how many songs did you have originally before you picked those four? Did you have a wide range? And are they kind of in the background while you're still writing new ones and for future EPs or albums?
Yeah, so basically right after we recorded Lover's Trance, that was in the late fall of 2011. Right after that, you know, we got into those competitions and everything, but we started writing right away. And, you know, we had like, I'd say eight or so song ideas, but, you know, we thought that, okay, it's the fall again, we should go back and record. So those four songs, well, three of them were a lot more forward than the others, but then we wrote, you know, Hardwiring, we finished that one in the studio. And so at that time, it was like the four front runners, I guess. And then ever since then, we haven't really had a necessarily a goal of when to record next. So we've just been writing pretty much nonstop for months now, and we have more ideas than we can count. But at the same time, we don't have that many more official songs because we don't really need to. We're just kind of in the in-between period right now. So we have a lot more that we've been writing, and just a lot of ideas. We try to get as much out as we can.
It's weird what makes like a song grow from just one of those ideas. You know, like a lot of times we'll have a song and we'll be like, how the heck did we get from this idea to here, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what? I mean, it's so cool because like when you all of a sudden you lose yourself in this song, those are the ones I think we end up finishing and making them into real songs a lot of times because you get so into this thing and you forget what you're doing. Scott's like singing stuff and it's just coming to him. It's not like he's planning it out. And so a lot of times it's what we finish is really in the moment, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we'll, like, not very rare, but more rare that we pick a song and keep going back to it. And, I mean, sometimes we hash stuff out, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's a fine line of, like, working on a song and taking an idea and making it to a song level and then overcooking something and beating it to death and, you know, trying to get something out of it and if it's not flowing. So it's really...
It's tough to find.
Yeah, so at this point, I think we stopped trying to beat songs and try to, you know, we just have an idea and we just leave it and then we just write something else and then someday we record everything we do. And so we call them voice memos, we record them on our phone and then like a Tascam recorder. So we have all these ideas and I'm sure at some Saturday afternoon we'll listen back to them all and say, oh my God, that one's great or something like that.
Cool. Yeah, and you guys have talked about how, you know, you actually did go to college for different degrees, not just the music thing, and you have full-time jobs. So what really influenced you to even think, hey, why don't I start a band, you know?
Yeah.
What are your influences?
To start the band, or musically, or...
kind of just in general, yeah, for both.
What'd you say? Let's kind of... Well, it was weird. We started doing it in college, and honestly, it was kind of like something we wanted to do for fun. We were playing a lot of house parties, like in the basements, and you know, it's just we were like having fun writing some songs, the original. And Dustin came in to our dorm one day. And he's like, "Hey, man, we got to do this BRU Rock Hunt. WBRU is like a radio station in Providence." And we're just like, "Sure, yeah, you know, that's great." So we submitted, and we got picked for like the final 12 bands. And I remember just getting that text message, and I was like in like a meeting with a professor, and I was just like totally, I was like oh my God, you know, I'm about to be like, this is amazing. And then you get this feeling like, you know, I think for all of us, it's always been, and there's a lot of people that know exactly what they wanted to do since they're like 11 years old. And then all of a sudden it clicked to us that, you know, this is the one thing that we feel is really speaking to us, you know. And then we did the rock hunt, and we came in like the final round of it. And so many people came out, and that feeling that we got when we went on stage was so loud, and people were really digging our songs. And I spoke with one of the BRU directors there, and he's like, he just said, "Hey, you guys, you know, you guys are going places. Stick with it." And cool. We didn't win, but you know, sometimes you lose, you learn more from your losses than your victories, you know. And we just kind of just really pushed it hard and just decided this is something we want to do.
Yeah, I guess for me, Scott sort of spoke somewhat for how I came to feel like the band is what I wanted to do. It's because when I was a kid, like, I didn't want to be an astronaut or a firefighter. Like, I didn't really know. And I asked my mom once, I said, "Hey, did I ever say, like, what I wanted to be?" And she said no. So for me, the band wasn't something that was really forced upon me or something that I didn't want to do but I kept doing reluctantly. It was sort of something that evolved from really just having a lot of fun to, hey, we're pretty good, and to finally realizing that it's not every day that you can, you know, meet up with four guys somewhere and find a band that actually ends up being sustainable, that can last, you know, those first initial years of like, oh, this is great, awesome, we're going to be famous, you know, in like 2 days, kind of that feeling, you know.
Yeah.
It's I feel like it's something really special. I can't exactly explain, you know, like all the reasons, but it's like sometimes that's what it's about, kind of the unknown and believing that it's kind of something magical. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
That's basically my reason.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Excuse me?
Oh, I thought I cut you off there. Are you going to ask?
No, I was just agreeing, saying, yeah, that's kind of what started this off, is just something I was interested in doing. And we're 3 years into it now, and I'm still having fun and enjoying it. And
yeah,
I think as long as you're enjoying yourself, that's all that matters. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely, like, you know, I feel like you want to be able to do something with your time that you enjoy, because you spend 90% of your time working, you know. We only have 2 days off on the weekend. But
yeah,
for us, you know, and it's probably for you guys too, like, it's just when you're doing the band stuff, it doesn't feel as much like work, and it's exciting, it's fun, it's like what makes life worth living.
Right.
So...
true. And I think April's second part of that was, what were your general influences when you're writing, and just in general with your sound, your influences for that part of it?
Like musically?
Musically, yeah.
Influences.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, it's weird. For me, being a drummer, when I was growing up, I just listened to a lot of hip hop, to be honest. I know it sounds kind of weird that we're doing rap. I mean, that we're doing rock music, but... for me, I listened to a lot of rap music up until I met these guys, and they sort of started introducing me to more alternative sounds. But yeah, it was predominantly rap music for me, which is kind of strange to think about. But
I kind of started, like, it was like, wasn't until middle school that my mom, she's a dance teacher, got me into older music. And it was, you know, it was Led Zeppelin. First off, and I think everyone can remember the first time they hear Stairway to Heaven, at least I think. Some of those songs that you just are like, oh my God, I remember that exact moment. And all of a sudden I became like obsessed. I'd listen to like all their albums every night. I like bought all t-shirts with Zeppelin on them. Jimmy Page was like an idol. And then I got into the Beatles, and then, you know, it just kind of went with the generations. And, you know, I think for Scott, his dad was in a band. So he's a huge music lover. He has so many, you know, he listens to everything.
Yeah, everything.
Everything. So, everything Scott knows and loves.
So, and also for me, it's kind of off the cuff, but like movie soundtracks, I'm a big fan of. I just really enjoy them, like Ennio Morricone or, you know, John Williams, right. Hans Zimmer, all those people. I just, the music I find just Well, yeah, I play the guitar, so I don't listen to the lyrics. So for me, it's like I'm listening to the sound and the structure and the shape of where the music's going, where's the chord, where the chords are going. So that's kind of my influences.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I like all types of rock music. I was really into, like, big-name rocks. Like, I love the Chili Peppers for the longest time, and I was, like, all the concerts I went to were always, like, big, like, arena shows, like, you know, Foo Fighters or Chili Peppers or Dave Matthews Band. Like, I always went to, like, big shows, and it wasn't until recently that I started going to, like, the smaller clubs and seeing, like, up-and-coming bands. But I think, too, you know, just listening to the vinyl this past 2 years has really just opened up our musical influences that much more. I remember my dad growing up would always talk about Fleetwood Mac, and I just, because he liked them, for some reason I had a disdain in my mouth. I was like, what the hell are you talking about Fleetwood Mac? I was like, no, like, blah, blah, blah. And when I borrowed the albums from him, he told me this really cool story that he every day walked to the record store when that album was coming out, when Rumors was coming out, because, you know, back then they didn't know exactly when the release date was. He knew it was coming out soon, so we walked every day for 3 weeks to get it. And recently they had their 40th anniversary or whatever, but he actually gave me the album. Now I'm listening to it, and I'm like, this is the best album I've ever heard, you know? And it's just like, it's weird, you know, as you get older, I think you can just appreciate so much more, and you're not just pigeonholed into any one thing.
Except his copy on the chain skips every time.
It skips,
it's
right on the bass solo.
Do you know, do you know the trick on some of that?
Oh, no.
Try this with either a penny or a nickel. And tape that to the top of where the needle is on that plastic piece.
Yeah.
It'll give it some weight. And lot of times it'll go through the skip that way.
Oh, yeah,
that's when I was listening to my 45s and they got so wore out.
Yeah.
Well, I would tape a nickel to it and it'd have enough weight that it'd go through the skips.
Oh, wow.
So it's usually a penny or a nickel, just depending on how deep the skip is.
A little weight to it, yeah.
Thank you. We will definitely do that.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing ever.
Learn something new every day.
I'm the old man in the room, so what can I say?
Pass on the wisdom.
Don't we have an old box of vinyl?
I have a few vinyls, but I'm like you, Scott. I was into the soundtracks, so most of mine are soundtracks. But,
oh, really? Awesome.
So I have a...
You have like a box of just like random vinyl.
Most of them are... Right now, what I'm actually doing is going to garage sales, and I'm getting them for the artwork rather than
because
I can get the music elsewhere. So now I'm really looking for the artwork pieces that the albums usually came in. And the last one I picked up, I think, was a Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, it's nice. You gotta be careful, because I went to this flea market and I wanted to pick up this like Chet Atkins record, and I was like, oh, sweet, you know, Chet Atkins, sweet, cool. And I open it up, and it's the Carpenters, but I bought it already. I'm like, not the Carpenters.
Oh, when you're in the right mood, those would go down just fine, too.
That's true.
You got to be in the right mood, though.
Yeah.
Or have the right mood-altering substance while you're drinking.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, we are probably about to wrap it up, unless April has a few more questions she has.
No.
I know you guys are. We appreciate you taking time out on a Sunday to do this.
You as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys.
I don't know if Carla mentioned it, but we were kind of limited on our time because April's in high school and this is during her volleyball season.
So
she's practicing every day after school. Plus, this whole month they've had tournaments on every weekend. So, so we've been working with that, and I appreciate you gentlemen working with us with that as well.
Gear up for state.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, tear it up.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah,
you bet. What
dreams?
What we usually do with our guests, if they're willing, so that we can put your names out in different episodes at different times, is if you would like to do a bumper for us, we would be glad to do that and put it in the other episodes periodically. That way, you have the interview, which we're doing now. We're also going to be doing a mini pop, which is just going to be centered around your band. But this is going to be like, you know, it's those little bumpers where, you know, this is last one out.
We're really bad at these. Well, yeah. Let's do it.
It's up to you guys if you would be willing to.
Yeah, we're about to do it.
Yeah, we're
just going to
take a couple takes.
A couple takes or something.
Okay. If you just want to do the band's name or if you want to give your personal names, that's up to
it's
you.
Whatever you want.
But just we are last one out. You're listening to Comic Pop Library or if you want to do your individual names of Last One Out. Yep. It's up to you, gentlemen.
Comic Pop Library.
Comic Pop Library, yeah.
And you're listening?
You're listening to, yeah, this is, like I said.
Because we put it in our episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. We got it.
All
right. Okay, in three, two.
This is Last One Out. You're listening to Comic Pop Library.
That's pretty good.
It's because Scott's not here.
I was waiting.
Line up on that.
I was going to say, what happened to the multiple takes? There, you're making me feel bad now. I had take four.
four takes is pretty good for us.
Well, yeah, gentlemen.
That was a fluke, I think.
Got some magic right there.
There you go. If you want. I don't have your personal email or your band's email account. I've just been in contact with Carla, and she's been the go-between. We can leave it that way, but I usually email Carla when the episodes are coming out. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing a lot with the Musebox here lately, so we have a lot of visits that are backlogged. So this one here will be around mid to late December and then first of the year. So okay. I like to give our guests warning about that so they don't wonder what's happening, but I also like to email out to let you know when it actually hits as well, so you know. So it's up to you if you have a band email you want to type in the chat box, or I can just go through Carla. It's up to you.
And if you guys have like any shows coming up or some new EPs or anything, you know, just let us know and we'll be happy to throw it on the website for you guys.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We're always looking for, you know, anyone to just, because it's really hard to get support, you know, so anything, we appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy.
Looks like he typed it in for you, Chris.
And do we have your email?
I don't have it. So if you want to just email me on that account, then I'll have yours and we can go from there.
All righty, that'll work. Plus, if there's anything really special going on and you want to hop on for like 10, 15 minutes, email me. We'll try to throw something together real quick and do another audio and slide it up real fast.
Perfect.
It won't be as long as this. It'll just kind of be like a short blurb to let everybody know what's happening in your guys' band at that point in time.
Awesome. And appreciate it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If we do that, it'll get up more timely. But with the visits, like I said, I think we're about four backlogged right now, which is great. We appreciate it, and we're having fun. But I just want to give our guests warning that that is happening. But we do appreciate you taking your time, gentlemen. I know it's a Sunday. I know the games are on. So
yeah,
that's right.
That's what we were listening to on the way here was the games.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I know. It's a busy day for football.
Yep. Yeah.
True. And we will, let me see here.
I don't know what you want.
The last drop.
Oh, I don't.
Like a crown?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. And for everybody out there that's listening, we've been visiting with Last One Out, and we are going to do their last drop from their EP, Like a Crown. In a future day, we'll be doing a mini pop with them as well, where we'll feature the song Favorite Van Gogh. So be sure to wait around and listen for that as well. And gentlemen, we appreciate you coming on. And
thanks for having us. Appreciate you guys.
Very fun.
You enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you as well. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.